Hello and welcome to East Valley News. I'm your volunteer reader, Dan Kaplan, and today we're focusing on news from the towns of Mesa and Apache Junction. Our first story, judge dismisses Mesa Tech School's lawsuit alleging illegal lease deal. East Valley Institute of Technology's legal fight against Adelante Healthcare suffered a serious setback when a judge dismissed the school's complaint that a 40-year ground lease at the campus was illegal. The Mesa-based tech school filed a lawsuit against Adelante Healthcare and Mesa Medical LLP in Maricopa County Superior Court in February, attempting to invalidate a lease that a previous superintendent approved in 2011. The governing board's lawsuit alleged the lease violated Arizona's gift clause and shortchanged taxpayers. Maricopa County Superior Court Judge Scott Blaney dismissed the complaint August 12, stating that EVIT's time frame to bring forward the claims had passed the 8-year statute of limitations. The medical provider opened the 42,000-square-foot medical facility on EVIT's campus along Main Street and Longmore Avenue in Mesa in 2012. The facility was built to provide medical access to the community while also providing internships and clinical rotations to EVIT students. The East Valley Institute of Technology is a public career and technical education district for high school students that also offers tuition-based training for adults based out of Mesa. Adelante CEO Pedro Cons, in a prepared statement, praised the court's decision. Adelante looks forward to putting this matter behind us and working collaboratively with EVIT to carry on our institution's important collective health and education missions, Cons said in a statement. The tech school said it was weighing its legal options. In a news release August 14, EVIT stated it was looking at next steps, including appealing the judge's ruling. Our priorities are following the law and making sure taxpayers are fairly compensated for use of public resources, EVIT Superintendent Chad Wilson said in a statement. EVIT's lawsuit stemmed from an internal review in September in which it found the lease may not have been approved by the EVIT Governing Board as required by law, nor was it required by voters in the EVIT Career Technical Education District, CTED, as also required by law. Adelante Healthcare is a nonprofit certified community health center with 9 locations in Arizona. It assigned the lease to the Canadian-based Mesa Medical LLP to build a facility, which then leased it back to Adelante. Adelante Healthcare and Mesa Medical threatened to file a countersuit against EVIT, seeking more than $200 million in March, but it was never filed. In 2011, then-Superintendent Sally Downey signed the ground lease on 2.5 acres with Adelante. The district, in its lawsuit, called Downey's actions unauthorized. It stated there was no agenda or meeting minutes for any EVIT governing board meeting in 2010 or 2011 with an action item for the board to approve a lease with Adelante. State law dictated the lease should have been sent to voters for approval because of the length of the lease, the district contended. The school receives a fixed rate for rent of $2,780 per month, which it called remarkably low. Mesa Medical charges Adelante $62,000 a month, the school stated. The disparity is outrageous, and EVIT claims the agreement is illegal on multiple fronts, the school's August 14 news release stated. The district stated the arrangement was incredibly lucrative and was obtained at taxpayers' expense. EVIT also took offense that there were no provisions in the lease for a rate increase over the 40-year term. Downey resigned from EVIT in 2019 as part of a separation agreement with the district. Wilson said the district was not seeking to challenge the construction of the building or evict anyone. Our district's taxpayers are being greatly shortchanged. That has to stop, he said. That story was judge dismisses Mesa Tech School's lawsuit alleging illegal lease deal. The next story, Apache Junction Mounted Rangers recruiting new members. Peacekeeping group provides security at events. Following the summer season, characterized by dry, hot conditions, desert landscapes, and periods of monsoon rain, the Apache Junction Mounted Rangers will reconvene for their upcoming season of community service activities. Our first meeting will be the first Friday, 7 p.m., September 5, at the Multi-Generational Center at 1035 North Idaho Road in Apache Junction. We are currently recruiting new rangers for our season and welcome both residents and winter visitors. You don't need a horse to join, but if you have one, we would love to have you in our mounted unit. We are a peacekeeping group that provides security at events. The funds we raised are donated to the children of Apache Junction. We also welcome those with ATVs or quad vehicles, as well as foot soldiers. Everyone is welcome with open arms. You must be at least 21 years old and pass a background check. Our minimum requirement for service is 10 hours a year, so if you have the time and want to be part of this Western lifestyle peacekeeping group, please consider joining our organization. We co-host the Lost Dutchman Days Rodeo each year and expect our members to support us during this fun event at the rodeo grounds. AJMR raises money at local public concerts and local community events. By joining, you can attend these events, get in early, and enjoy good parking, all for a worthy cause. Plus, it's a lot of fun. Our members come from all levels of society. We value team players and positive attitudes. We have over 30 years of history, and you can see the photos on our website. You will find more about us at http://www.ajmountedrangers.org. We are on Facebook, too. Contact information is available on the website. Join us at our first Friday meeting this September. Dues are $24 a year. We wear Western uniforms to promote the Western lifestyle and values. So grab your cowboy hat and join us. That story was Apache Junction Mountain Rangers recruiting new members. The next story, seeing sick or confused coyotes, AZ officials warn of contagious virus risk to pets. There's been an uptick in sick coyotes. The Arizona Game and Fish Department suspected it was due to canine distemper, and laboratory testing confirmed it. The condition is highly contagious to other members of the canine family, such as dogs, but does not spread to humans, the department said. Distemper manifests itself in disoriented behaviors, such as stumbling and seizures, loss of fear of humans, or discharge from the nose or mouth, the department said in an August 12 news release. Reports have been coming in from neighborhoods, parks, and other urban spaces, the department said, although it did not provide statistics. Canine distemper is a virus that is spread by direct contact, shared water or food sources, and airborne droplets, according to the department. It affects the respiratory, gastrointestinal, and nervous systems in other canine species and can be fatal, the department said. Pet owners should keep their dogs' vaccinations up to date, keep them on a leash, and avoid contact with wildlife, according to the department. In April, a Pinal County dog named Kendrick was euthanized after testing positive for canine distemper virus. Roughly 10 other dogs were being quarantined at another facility because they were symptomatic, the county said. In May, two of the sick dogs, Fluffy and Quasimoto, were saved from the euthanasia list by families willing to foster them. Outbreaks of distemper have devastated county animal shelters in Arizona and often lead to weeks or months-long recovery processes. In 2019, 40 dogs were euthanized after an outbreak at the Maricopa County Animal Care and Control Facility in Mesa. In 2021, a dozen dogs were infected at Maricopa County's West Shelter. That story was seeing sick or confused coyotes, AZ officials warn of contagious virus risk to pets. The next story, plan for daytime lane restrictions on US 60 west of Miami, August 18 to 22. The Arizona Department of Transportation advises drivers to plan for lane restrictions on U.S. Highway 60, approximately 3 miles west of Miami, for roadway improvements. U.S. 60 will be narrowed to one lane in each direction, with alternating east and westbound travel between mileposts 240 and 243 daily from 5:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday, August 18 through Thursday, August 21, and from 5:30 a.m. to noon, Friday, August 22. Flaggers and a pilot car will direct drivers through the work zone. An 11-foot vehicle width restriction will be in place until further notice. The speed limit will be reduced to 25 miles per hour in the work zone. Upcoming restrictions. US 60 will be narrowed to one lane in each direction with alternating east and westbound travel daily from 5:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday, August 25 through Thursday, August 28 and from 5:30 a.m. to noon Friday, August 29. Flaggers and a pilot car will direct drivers through the work zone. An 11-foot vehicle width restriction will be in place. The speed limit will be reduced to 25 miles per hour. Motorists should allow extra travel time, use caution, be prepared to slow down, and merge safely when approaching and traveling through all work zones. This work is separate from the US 60 Queen Creek and Waterfall Canyon Bridges Replacement Project east of Superior. That story was Plan for Daytime Lane Restrictions on US 60 west of Miami, August 18 to 22. The next story, Mesa Park Rangers put on leave were disciplined and passed prison jobs. Two Mesa Park Rangers placed on leave after police investigations previously worked for the State Corrections Department, where records show they were disciplined for their conduct. Documents provided to the Arizona Republic through a public records request showed former park ranger Joshua Amado and ranger Brandon Montez faced disciplinary action during their employment with the department. Disciplinary letters indicated the two former correctional officers lied about work attendance, violated the department's policies, fell asleep on the job, and had unprofessional behavior with colleagues. The two were suspended without pay multiple times. Four of the seven park rangers Mesa placed on leave in April previously worked for the Arizona Department of Corrections, Rehabilitation, and Reentry. The department did not provide any disciplinary records for the other two rangers on leave who previously worked for the department. Mesa didn't know about the existence of the DOC letters of reprimand during the hiring process. Personnel records or files are not requested as part of the background check for non-public safety jobs, city spokesperson Anna Pereira told the Republic in a statement. Mesa police launched an investigation on April 11 into allegations of criminal activity and wrongdoing by the Rangers, including using racial slurs and targeting homeless people. The investigation began after allegations that a group of park rangers had possession of a stolen firearm, used racial slurs and inappropriate use of force, and shared a goon squad patch. The detectives uncovered incidents of rangers targeting homeless individuals, seizing drugs, and coining the phrase gooning to mean dealing with the homeless problem. It ended after prosecutors declined charges and detectives had no further leads to follow. A second civil investigation is ongoing that will look into the personnel misconduct claims uncovered by the criminal investigation. It was expected to finish in the coming weeks, according to Pereira. Before the allegations came to light, three of the rangers were promoted to leadership positions or given raises before they were suspended. Montez was placed on paid administrative leave on April 12. Amato was placed on leave on April 13 and, days later, on April 22, was arrested on suspicion of possession of a stolen firearm. The Maricopa County Attorney's Office twice declined to move forward with the recommended charges due to no reasonable likelihood of conviction. The city was in the process of terminating Amato before he resigned on April 28. Amato was a corrections officer for 5 years and employed by the Arizona Department of Corrections, Rehabilitation, and Reentry in Florence. He was hired in 2017 and worked there until 2022. In his application to the Mesa Rangers unit, he stated his reasons for leaving the department were to move closer to home and for job advancement. Amato started as a Correctional Officer 1. A year later, he was promoted to Correctional Officer 2 and remained in that designation until he left in 2022. He received several salary adjustments over the 6 years he was employed. In December 2018, days before his promotion was reflected in his work history, Amato was seen carrying his personal cell phone. When the supervisor entered the room, he promptly placed it in his pocket, according to a disciplinary letter. He was also reprimanded for not following proper uniform and grooming standards. The deputy warden at the time stated the two actions were negligence of duty and insubordination. Amato was given 16 hours of leave without pay, according to the letter. In April 2022, Amato was given 80 hours of leave without pay for a serious violation of department policies and procedures. Amato told his supervisor he had attended weapons range training on November 1, 2021. He was asked to provide his weapons card, but he told his supervisor it had been destroyed. The department reviewed the range roster and key logs, which stated he was not present. However, his positive attendance record stated Amato worked 10 hours that day. After the department initiated an administrative inquiry in January 2022, into Amato's attendance for the date in question, he changed his initial answer. He told officials he had not attended the range nor worked that date, contradicting what he had previously told the supervisors and what was reflected in his attendance record. The letter stated his actions were an intentional failure to accurately reflect his attendance. Montez worked for the department's Safford location in southern Arizona from 2015 to 2021, according to the resume he submitted to Mesa. He left the department after he was hired by Freeport McMoRan, he stated in the resume. Montez joined the city at the same time as Amato in October 2023. Over the years, Montez was promoted to correctional sergeant and given various salary raises. Montez received 3 disciplinary letters and was twice suspended without pay during his time at the corrections department. In 2016, he was suspended for 40 hours without pay for sleeping on duty in a vehicle while he was conducting post checks, records stated. He was given an official reprimand in 2020 for a policy violation involving his assigned canine. Montez fed his canine 2 pieces of hamburger patties and a hot dog while he was working on treat obedience on February 22, 2020, the letter stated. Days later, the canine was taken to an animal hospital and showed no improvement over several days, records stated. The canine was found lying in the kennel unresponsive and not breathing on March 6, 2020. A year later, in July 2021, Montez was placed on 40 hours of leave without pay after the department received a complaint alleging unprofessional behavior involving a female coworker. The complaint was received in February 2021. At the time, Montez was a corrections sergeant supervising other correctional officers. After an initial official inquiry, Montez admitted he had asked for the woman's personal cell number, had a sexual relationship with her, and suggested that if she changed units, they could date, according to a disciplinary letter. Park Ranger Supervisor Brett Burton was the hiring manager when Amato and Montez applied for their positions. Along with Amato and Montez, Burton was also put on paid administrative leave in April. Burton has an employment history with the Corrections Department, according to his resume. His time in Florence did not overlap with the two men, according to his work history. The Corrections Department did not provide any disciplinary letters regarding Burton. Amato and Montez were interviewed by a panel including Burton, lead ranger Brian Miller, and a third ranger. Miller later supervised Amato and Montez and praised the two during their annual reviews. Pereira, the city spokesperson, said Burton was the person who was responsible for any due diligence in the hiring process. According to Pereira, hiring managers were encouraged to check personnel references, but were not required. The city provides managers with a reference checking form that serves as a guide, including question prompts to ask former employers about a candidate, she said. The Parks, Recreation, and Community Department executive team's involvement would not have included a review of applications or interviews with candidates, Terrera said. The executive team would give administrative approval for the position or salary pay. That story was, Mesa Park Rangers put on leave were disciplined in past prison jobs. The next story, five radios costing $59,000 sought for Superstition Fire and Medical District. Purchasing five portable radios with the required software and accessories at a cost of more than $59,000 will be considered at the August 20 meeting of the Superstition Fire and Medical District Board of Directors. The meeting begins at 5:30 p.m. at SFMD's Administrative Office, 565 North Idaho Road in Apache Junction. The $59,864.97 portable radios purchased from Motorola Solutions is a capital line item in the budget. The district, which is primarily funded by property taxes, provides fire suppression, fire prevention, wildland protection, advanced life support, rescue, extrication, and medical transportation services out of five fire stations in Apache Junction and Gold Canyon. SFMD board meetings are generally held at 5:30 p.m., the third Wednesday of the month, at the SFMD Administrative Office, 565 North Idaho Road in Apache Junction. Agendas are at https://sfmd.az.gov/. That story was five radios costing $59,000 sought for Superstition Fire and Medical District. The next story, Mesa Gateway Airport just had its biggest year ever. Here's what's next. Mesa Gateway Airport, the East Mesa Reliever Airport for Phoenix Sky Harbor International Airport, just experienced its biggest year of passenger traffic and revenue. Mesa Gateway Airport drew 2 million passengers during the 2024-25 fiscal year, which began July 2024 and ended June 2025. That marked a 9% jump from the year before and surpassed the previous record of 1.9 million passengers in 2021-22. The record-setting achievements of fiscal year 2025 are a strong testament to the important air transportation role Gateway Airport now plays in the greater Phoenix region, Airport President J. Brian O'Neill said in a statement. The record passenger counts and revenues followed the airport completing two major improvements. A $28 million five-gate permanent concourse and an enclosed climate-controlled pedestrian walkway connecting the ticketing and security areas. Mesa Gateway also changed its name. It was known as Phoenix Mesa Gateway Airport until December 2024. Here's a look at Mesa Gateway's record-breaking 2024-25 fiscal year by the numbers. Record traffic of 2 million passengers. Record operating revenue of $35.8 million. Record net income of $5.4 million. Record fuel sales of $10.1 million. Record vehicle parking revenue of $5.5 million. Gateway Airport continues to be one of the largest economic drivers in the Valley of the Sun. Mesa Gateway Airport Authority Board Chair Regina Antone, who also serves as Lieutenant Governor of the Gila River Indian Community, said in a statement, "Surpassing 2 million passengers reflects the airport's appeal as a gateway to our region for visitors who love the entertainment, outdoor activity, and hospitality that our state has to offer." Mesa Gateway spokesman Ryan Smith credited Allegiance Air's new route to Colorado Springs and increasing frequency on popular routes with driving passengers growth at the airport. More and more people are learning about our 45 nonstop destinations and giving the airport a try for the first time, he said. The airport's record revenues correlate with the record passenger traffic. The more people fly out of Mesa Gateway, the more they spend on restaurants, parking, rental cars, and other services, Smith said. We were able to achieve that while keeping costs low, he said. Las Vegas-based ultra-low-cost carrier Allegiant Air operates almost all the commercial flights out of Mesa Gateway Airport. Sun Country Airlines operates a seasonal route between Mesa and Minneapolis. Allegiant has served Mesa Gateway for 18 years, establishing a crew base at the airport a year after debuting its first route there. Allegiant said in a statement to the Arizona Republic that its success at the airport is a direct result of the incredible support from the community. Since we began service, we have flown millions of travelers in and out of the area, Allegiant said. We provide locals with convenient, affordable, nonstop flights to the people and places that matter most. Our strong partnership with the airport has helped us keep fares low, making travel more accessible for everyone in Mesa and the surrounding community. We look forward to many more years of serving this community. Mesa Gateway Airport opened on the former Williams Air Force Base in 1994 and was first known as Williams Gateway Airport. The Air Force Base and the airport's original name commemorated Charles Linton Williams, an Arizona native who was a first lieutenant in the Army Air Corps. He died in 1927 in a plane crash in Hawaii. Williams Gateway Airport was renamed Phoenix Mesa Gateway Airport in 2008 because the original name didn't say where it was located. The airport continues to honor Williams' legacy as its terminal is named after him. It became Mesa Gateway Airport in December 2024, months after the city of Phoenix exited the Mesa Gateway Airport Authority. Looking forward, Smith is optimistic that passenger and revenue growth will support continuing evolutions at Mesa Gateway. He pointed to the airport's $130 million in planned improvements, including the $40 million reconstruction of the airport's inside runway, the largest project in its history. Later this year, work will begin on a new baggage system that will be able to handle more luggage. A new Spring Hill Suites by Marriott, about 4.5 miles driving distance from the airport in the Gateway East Master Plan development, is scheduled to open in fall 2026, Smith said. Further into the future, Mesa Gateway staff are exploring a new terminal on the airport's east side. In the meantime, the airport continues to work with its airlines to add new routes and increase service on existing ones, while we continue to share the success story and investments made with potential airline carriers, Smith said. And that story was Mesa Gateway Airport just had its biggest year ever. Here's what's next. This has been East Valley News covering Mesa and Apache Junction. I'm your volunteer reader, Dan Kaplan. Now stay tuned for more excellent content on Sun Sounds of Arizona.